Good morning, sports fans. Welcome into another edition of The Glass Half Full, an ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Thanks so much for tuning in. Jumping right into it, we'll start locally as UWF made a pretty big announcement yesterday. I think this is absolutely fantastic. They are going to be partnering with Influxer to provide Argo Athletes an opportunity to monetize their name, image, and likeness, which of course is NIL, just in case you didn't know, name, image, likeness. That's where they get NIL from. So they are going to be able to profit off of playing at UWF and making some money off of it. So I think this is great that schools at every level of this, it's not just the big schools like a Florida or an Alabama that's getting involved with it. You're starting to see UWF starting to get involved with NIL. And I think UWF kind of did it right. He kind of waited, held back a little bit, let the warts get worked out, and then moved into it with trying to get their athletes involved with NIL. So basically the way this is going to work is Influxer, who is already the athletic apparel supplier for University of West Florida, they are the licensed vendor for the Argos. They're going to be hosting an NIL merchandise store for each Argo athlete decides to opt in for this NIL opportunity. Now, each athlete, if they do opt in, they will get a personalized website that they can showcase their personalized gear on. So we're talking jerseys, T-shirts, things like that with their name and their number and their likeness on it. So they can sell those on there, and they will get a kickback from the sales that are going to be made through that site. And, of course, Influxer is going to be handling all the packaging and the order fulfillment and the customer service as well. So really all they have to do is set up their website, help promote their website, send out a link, say, hey, if you want to buy my jersey, you can find it here. And Influxer will do all the work for them. Once you make that purchase, Influxer fulfills the order. If there's an issue with the order, you're going to call customer service and they'll be happy to help you with it. So I think this is phenomenal. And this is so exciting to see UWF Athletics continue to grow and continue to move forward into what it's becoming. And, you know, we've got the announcement earlier this year of the football stadium being built on campus. Now we're getting NIL opportunities for Argo athletes there at the UWF Athletic widespread. I mean, really, athletics at UWF is absolutely incredible. Whether you're talking tennis, whether you're talking softball, baseball, basketball, football, really top to bottom, they do a great job there with that athletic department. So I know they're going to do great by the athletes, and this NIL deal is going to be fantastic for them. So great news there for UWF and their athletes. If you want to read the full article on this, it's actually on our Facebook page. So just head over to facebook.com/ESPN Pensacola. You can find it there and give it a full read. It's definitely an interesting article, and I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to, you know, buy a couple of T-shirts or something, help these student athletes out. Definitely deserve it. Definitely always a great opportunity to support our UWF Argos. Some sad news from the NFL. Dallas Cowboy Hall of Famer Larry Allen, who was an anchor on the offensive line for the Cowboys for so long, passed away suddenly at the age of 52. Such a sad story. On vacation with his family down in Mexico, they're having a great time, not worrying about anything, and then all of a sudden just passes away. And it's, you know, at the age of 52, man, that's young. That is young. You got to think at the age of 52, he probably had maybe teenagers, maybe early 20s. He probably had young kids of his own, you know, and it's already so tough to sit here and talk about. And we've had to do it a lot in the last couple of weeks, but it's so tough to sit here and talk about these athletes who pass on. But to say that this guy was on vacation with his family, so his family were right there. They saw it happen. In a way, hey, it's good because his family was there to kind of say goodbye, if you will. But also at the same time, it's always tough because, like I said, they were on vacation. They didn't have a care in the world. They were having fun, making memories as a family, and then this happened. So our thoughts and prayers are out to the entire Allen family right now, and it's definitely going to be a tough time for them. Angel Reese made some comments to the media, and look, I don't have anything against Angel Reese. I think she's a heck of a ball player, all right? I do think she kind of has that, what is it in WWE? They call him, is it the heel? Is the heel the bad guy in the WWE? I think she's got a little bit of that mindset to her, and she plays into it, and God bless her, she does a great job at it. Because every time I see her talk, she seems like she's a nice person, right? Like, when I see her just kind of, like, talking and interacting with a fan, she seems like she's a nice, sincere individual. But, man, when she steps on that court, she is... I would be scared to go up against her, all right? So, you know, she's got that mentality to her, that switch that flips. But she was making some comments about the WNBA, and of course all of this is spinning off of what her teammate did to Caitlin Clark over the weekend when they played, with what some people are calling the cheap shot, and we're not going to talk about all of that. We just kind of want to talk about the comment she made, because basically the comment she made kind of came off more along the lines of they're fed up of hearing about Caitlin Clark, right? Like, it's, you know, here's the comment. This is the comment.
People are talking about women's basketball that you never would think that we'd be talking about women's basketball. People are pulling up to games. We got celebrities coming to games, sold out arenas, like, just because of one single game. And just looking at that, like, I'll take that role. I'll take the bad guy role, and I'll continue to take that on and be that for my teammates. And if I want to be that, and I know I'll go down in history, I'll look back in 20 years and be like, yeah, the reason why we watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too, and I want y'all to realize that. Like, it's not just because of one person. A lot of us have done so much for this game, and Kennedy has been here before, obviously, but there are so many great players in this league that have deserved this for a really, really long time, and luckily, it's coming now.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can hear right there that she is, she's kind of alluding to the fact that, hey, it's not just Caitlin Clark that is the reason that women's basketball is being paid attention to so much right now, that it's Angel Reese. Angel Reese is playing a part in it. She didn't speak in third person, but, you know, she's like, hey, I play a part in it too. People are coming to see me. People are talking about me. People are talking about this league for a lot of different reasons. I have to disagree with her on part. I think it's, I agree with her on the fact that it is great that now people are caring about and talking about the WNBA. I do think it is great. But I have to disagree with her on the part that people are talking about and caring about the WNBA for more reasons than Caitlin Clark. Because she mentioned in that soundbite you just heard, she was talking about the celebrities coming to the game, right? Those people coming to the game, people are tuning into the game and things like that. I was in Destin a week ago or something like that on the weekend, went into an eating establishment called Waldo's. It's like a high-scale chicken strip place, kind of along the lines of, if you've ever been to like a chicken guy, it's kind of like that. But as I'm sitting there eating, a girl walks in with, I guess, her boyfriend or fiance or husband, whoever it was, but they both had on Caitlin Clark shirts. She actually had on a Caitlin Clark jersey and he had a t-shirt on. They were big Iowa Hawkeye fans. They were actually, I believe, in town from Iowa. I know that because they pulled in right by the window. This sounds really weird saying it now, but they pulled in by the window, so I saw their license plate. They were from Iowa. And as many people do, come down to this area from those places on vacation to come to the beach. They both had on Caitlin Clark apparel. I have not once seen anybody wear Angel Reese apparel. Right? The celebrities that were coming to the game. I don't remember Jason Sudeikis sitting courtside at the NCAA Finals wearing an LSU jersey. He was wearing an Iowa jersey for Caitlin Clark. Even just a couple of weeks ago, or it might have been last week, actually, our very own Bubba Watson here in the area did an unboxing video where it was a Caitlin Clark jersey inside the box. I'm just saying, there seems to be a lot more leaning towards Caitlin Clark here than Angel Reese or anybody else in the WNBA. And I get where the frustration can come from, because these are talented athletes that should be getting their flowers. Absolutely, 100%. But to sit there and say that people are talking about the WNBA for more than just Caitlin Clark, that's misguided. That is misguided. They are solely talking about the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. Because let me tell you something. Had that cheap shot over the weekend happened to just anybody else, had it happened to Cam Brink, who is also part of the same rookie class as Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, had it happened to her in L.A., we wouldn't be talking about it so much. It wouldn't be sparking arguments on First Take. But it happened to Caitlin Clark, so it's a big story. And I would bet there's even some of you listening right now that heard me mention Cam Brink and you didn't even know who I was talking about. Or if you knew who she was, it was because of the video she's been doing lately on TikTok with her teammates dancing and stuff and having fun. And that's my point, right? That's my point. We're talking about the WNBA, yes, but it is because of Caitlin Clark. So I get where Angel Reese is coming from. And again, I completely agree with her that for the people who have been working their athletes, who have been working their butt off in the WNBA for the last, I don't know how many years, it is nice to see it getting primetime slots on television. It is nice for it to be something that is leading the way on sports talk radio and sports talk television. It is nice to see that. But it is mostly because of Caitlin Clark. Right? If you go up to somebody in the street and you ask them, what pick was Angel Reese in the WNBA draft? What pick was Cam Brink in the WNBA draft? They probably couldn't tell you. What pick was Caitlin Clark in the WNBA draft? They could probably tell you that. So, again, I understand where Angel Reese is coming from with those comments, but at the same time, man, I don't know if I agree with her completely, because I think, look, honestly and truthfully, we are talking about the WNBA. We are paying more attention to women's basketball and women's athletics because of Caitlin Clark. Whether she likes it or not, that's the reason why. And honestly and truthfully, let's be real on this. Had Caitlin Clark not broken all the records that she broke, and I'm not trying to be offensive or rude when I say this, but it's true. Had Caitlin Clark not broken those records like she did, would we even be having this conversation? Caitlin Clark is polarizing. She makes headlines. She breaks records. Tim Tebow didn't do jack squat in the NFL, but he was still on the front page of every newspaper, wasn't he? Because it's polarizing. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to debate. Same's the case with Caitlin Clark. Because she's not having a good year in the WNBA. Check her stats. She's having a Peyton Manning-esque rookie season, if you know what I'm talking about. It ain't good. So the fact that we're still talking about her is simply because she is polarizing, simply because she did break those records. And that is why we're talking about the WNBA. Maybe eventually down the road, we will get to where we are talking about the WNBA for the league itself. But right now, it's definitely Caitlin Clark. And if I'm Angel Reese, if I'm anybody else in the WNBA, instead of going against it, instead of fighting that, I go with it. Because it's going to be somebody like a Caitlin Clark that opens up the world to the WNBA. That opens up new fans to the WNBA. You've got to have that one player to spark that interest among sports fans for them to continue to tune in and week out. You've got that now with the WNBA. Continue to build on that. Continue to build around it. And then eventually, Angel Reese won't have to make these comments because we will be just talking about the WNBA for the sake of talking about the WNBA. Not because of Caitlin Clark, but because it's now produced a good quality product. So don't go against it, Angel Reese. Embrace it. Help continue to build the league, right? Don't fight against it. Help use it to build the league up and make the league better. And that's where I'm going to leave that. Let's move on now to the College Football Hall of Fame, because our ballot for the new inductees has been released. Real quick, run through some of the players that are on here. We've got Aaron Donald. We got Manti Te'o. We got Mark Ingram. We got DeSean Jackson. Look, Aaron Donald is going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. So, yeah, I think he definitely belongs there in the College Football Hall of Fame. Manti Te'o, despite everything that happened with the fake girlfriend and getting catfished and all that stuff, let's not forget Manti Te'o was a linebacker at Notre Dame who finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting. Second. When's the last time we had a linebacker finish that high in the Heisman Trophy voting? The guy was dynamic, and he was a playmaker when he was at Notre Dame. And I think, unfortunately, he didn't get a fair shake because of all of that stuff that went on outside of football. That really, honestly, and truthfully, if you watch I believe it's Netflix that has the Manti Te'o kind of documentary about that, and he's an intricate part of it, and you get to sit down and hear him talk about it. I feel like he got an unfair shake because of that. That had that not happened with him, he probably would have gone on to have a solid career in the NFL. But I feel like everywhere he went after that, it was a punchline. And nobody took him serious. So I'm glad that the College Football Hall of Fame has him on the ballot. Hope that he can get in with the votes. Mark Ingram, Mark Ingram was a beast, period. End of conversation. Absolutely no surprise there. DeSean Jackson, again, just like we talked about with Aaron Donald, one of those dynamic players. DeSean Jackson one day going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. So, yeah, you got to put him in the College Football Hall of Fame. Coaches that were on the ballot this year, two big names on the ballot for College Football Hall of Fame. Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, both, it's their first year to be on the ballot. As a matter of fact, the other names, the player names, it was their first year to be on the ballot as well. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, how do you not put them into the College Football Hall of Fame, right? Especially Nick Saban. I mean, the man is, when you think of Alabama football, whether you are an Alabama fan or not, when you think of Alabama football, it's Bear Bryant and Nick Saban right there at the top. And I'm not saying one is above the other, because honestly, depending on who you talk to and what generation you talk to, that argument changes. Younger generation that was born maybe in 98, 97, oh, they're going to say Nick Saban is the best coach in the history of Alabama football. But you talk to somebody who grew up in the 60s and the 70s, so they're going to probably say Bear Bryant, but Nick Saban's a close second. So, yeah, you got to think, Nick Saban, what he's done in his career, minus the Miami Dolphins, because that might actually keep him out of any kind of Hall of Fame. But no, seriously, though, the guy had success at LSU, won a national championship at LSU. The guy goes on to take over the head coaching job at Alabama, took over that program when that program was a mess, right? Like Alabama was in the news for all the wrong reasons when Nick Saban took over that program, right? Mike Shula just couldn't get it done. He had that one 10-2 season where they demolished Florida in Bryant Denny 31-3, but then they still lost to LSU and Auburn to close out the season. And, they had that one good year with him, but they just couldn't move past that and get any better. And they end up firing him. They had the situation with a certain head coach using a certain credit card he wasn't supposed to at a gentleman's club that's not too far from here. Actually, that happened. For if you didn't know that, the whole situation with Mike Price happened here in Pensacola. So, yeah, it wasn't a good time for Alabama football. And Nick Saban came in, he restored the culture, he restored the way that program operated in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and even into the early 90s with guys like Bear Bryant and Gene Stallings. So you've absolutely 110% got to put Nick Saban in. there's no question, right? Urban Meyer, there might be some questions as to maybe make him wait another year. But again, Urban Meyer, just like Nick Saban, had success wherever he went. Went to Utah, made that a successful program. Went and took over Florida after the Ron Zook years, right? Spurrier leaves Florida. Ron Zook comes in. Program kind of starts going down, starts trending in a negative direction. Urban Meyer comes in, boom, wins two national championships in 3 years. Has the health issue that he claims to have. Decides to step down and leave. Then he goes to Ohio State. Wins a natty with Ohio State. He's had success everywhere he's gone. He's a quality football coach. I think you have to look at it, and you have to, both of these guys really should, on the merit of what they've done as a football coach, get into the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, the reason I think maybe Urban Meyer gets left out and maybe has to wait another year is because of some of the off-the-field stuff, because of some of the issues that his team has had, whether it's been the team at Florida, where you have, I mean, you know, you've got guys like Aaron Hernandez on your team, the Pouncey brothers, Percy Harvin getting into fights with assistant coaches in practice, things like that. There's also been the off-the-field stuff of him with some, you know, lovely ladies that aren't his wife at a bar. Yeah, I mean, this, the off-the-field stuff could keep Urban Meyer out of the College Football Hall of Fame for a year. I don't think it's going to completely keep him out. I think they may just kind of be like, you know what? I don't really want to vote for him just yet. I think he should wait a little bit before we put him in, just simply because of all that off the field stuff. So that's not necessarily something you worry about with Nick Saban. That's why I think he's a shoe-in. He's going to get in. Urban Meyer, yeah, there could be a little bit of an issue there, but I think this is going to be a great, if it sticks and it stays this way, I think this ballot for the Hall of Fame, for the College Football Hall of Fame there in Atlanta, I think it would be a great class to introduct, and it's definitely worth, if you've never been, if you're a sports fan and you've never gone over to Atlanta to check out the College Football Hall of Fame, I urge you, go check it out. I would even say, save it, do it on like a weekend, like a couple of weeks before the season starts. Man, when you come out of that museum and you come out of walking around that Hall of Fame, you are going to be ready for that season to kick off. So wait, do it right before the season kicks off, because if you do it now, you got to sit and wait for like 2.5 months, and that's not going to be fun for anybody, right? So just go maybe the weekend before college football season starts. Go check it out. It's there in Atlanta. You can't miss it. Lots of great college football things happening in Atlanta, so definitely go check that one out for sure. How about some notable players in the NFL that are still on the free agent market? And there were some players on this list that it really, some big names. We'll start it off with one of those big names, Ryan Tannehill, quarterback, played at Miami for a little while, left the Dolphins, went to the Titans. He's been the starting quarterback the last few seasons for the Titans. Kind of did some good things with them, but necessarily really just couldn't turn and get any traction and get moving forward. He's still a free agent. I think the thing with Ryan Tannehill, and I think one of the reasons why he's still a free agent, though, is he's going to be a number two quarterback wherever he goes. And I don't think necessarily Ryan Tannehill is okay with being the number two quarterback wherever he goes. I think he's in a position to where he wants to be somewhere where he's going to have an opportunity to be a starter and to lead an NFL team. And he's just not at that point in his career anymore. He's at that point to where he's going to be a backup. I think it's going to be a team maybe that brings him in that maybe has a quarterback who's a little accident or a little injury prone, I should say, not accident prone, but injury prone. And they bring him in to be that safety net. There's been a lot of rumors, honestly and truthfully, of the Dolphins bringing him back in to be Tua's backup. I think that would be, look, if you have a situation where, especially if you're a team like the Dolphins and Tua has had issues with staying healthy. I know he stayed healthy last year, but you know, previously it's been an issue, whether it's been concussion, whether it's been a hand, whether it's been a rib, whatever. He's had issues. So to have a quality guy like Ryan Tannehill at number two, I mean, that could be an interesting move. But I think if he does end up on a team this year, it's because he's finally accepted the fact that he is going to be a backup quarterback for the remainder of his career. Hunter Renfrow, a receiver from Clemson, caught that game-winning touchdown against Alabama in the national championship from Deshaun Watson. He is actually still on the free agent market. Again, you talk about a guy who's injury-prone. That's Hunter Renfrow. He's so far early in his career in the NFL, has not really been able to get things going and stay healthy. But when he is healthy, he produces, man. He's 74.1% catch rate for the Raiders. So if he can stay healthy, he could be a quality piece for a team. But the question is can he stay healthy? Because teams are not going to drop money on a guy that's not going to stay healthy. They're not going to do it. Let's see. Jamal Agnew, another receiver. He's an older veteran guy. You know, he's got some time in the league. So I think, you know, you're looking at that situation right there with Jamal. And I think he'd be a quality guy if you've got a young wide receiver room and you need to bring in a veteran to kind of help guide them. I think that would be a great option for you. Michael Thomas, that's another big name that's still a little shocking that he's a free agent. But the thing with Michael Thomas, again, just like we talked about with Hunter Renfrow, injuries. Michael Thomas has played 20 games the last 4 or 5 seasons in the NFL. 20 games. If you're a good team and you make the playoffs, you play 20 games in one season. And he's done that in the last 4 or 5 seasons with the Saints. Got to stay healthy if you want teams to kind of take a good, serious, long look at you in free agency. You got to be somebody that's healthy. Because if you're not healthy, they're not really going to pay attention to you. And that's going to be something that we say with a couple more of these guys on this list. Logan Thomas, the tight end. Now, I will say with Logan, so this happened between me reading this article yesterday afternoon and doing the show now. He's actually signed with somebody. So it was announced that he's signing with the San Francisco 49ers. So Logan Thomas, we can take him off this list. Xavien Howard, another one of those guys with injuries. He has not been a guy that's been able to stay healthy the last few years with the Miami Dolphins. It's always been something, a knee, an ankle, a hand. Excuse me. It's always been something with Xavien Howard. With the Miami Dolphins. One of the reasons why the Miami Dolphins and he were kind of okay with parting ways. And the Dolphins really didn't try to pursue keeping him on that roster. They were good with letting him walk. They wanted to go and get some new, fresh, younger talent in there that could be healthy for them. And they didn't have to worry about missing 6 or 7 games throughout the course of the season. That's what you get with Xavien Howard. Plus, He's an older receiver. He's an older defensive back now, right? He's a guy who is he's getting up there in age, and with a position like defensive back, it's better to have the young, talented, quick, athletic guys than a guy who's aging. And I think that's why these next couple of guys we're going to talk about, that's why they're still sitting here in this position as a free agent, not signing with a team. Stephon Gilmore, 33 years old, right? Why would I go and sign a 33-year-old cornerback when I can go get one in the draft, fresh out of college, still has his whole career ahead of him? 33, when you think about it in the landscape of just normal life, not old at all. But as an NFL football player, 33, you might as well be 77, right? So there's a lot of teams will look at the age and they will pass on a player simply because of that. And I think that's one of the things that Stephon Gilmore is having to deal with. Adoree Jackson hasn't played a full season since 2018. So again, the injuries being an issue, teams are not going to put money into and make an investment into a guy who is always injured or a guy who is past his prime. They're not going to do it. So that's why we're seeing several of these names here on the back end of this list. Justin Simmons, look, he's a quality guy. Free safety, 30 interceptions, 60 pass deflections. But again, 31 years old. That age is going to cause those NFL GMs to go, do we really want to invest X amount of money into that guy? Justin Simmons is a guy who I think could provide some help in a secondary that desperately needs it. But that 31 years old is going to be an issue for him. Quandre Diggs, on the other hand, Quandre is a durable player, right? Quandre has managed to stay healthy, but it's because he's been on a team with Jamal Adams, kind of maybe getting a little overshadowed by that. So maybe not a lot of teams in the NFL know and understand what he could bring to the table. So, you know, they kind of pass him over. Because if there's another guy out there that they know what they're going to get with him, they're more likely to gravitate towards that. So, there's a couple of names on this list. I'm surprised they are still free agents. A couple of other names that don't really surprise me at all, but really do think that a couple of these guys, as we get closer to the season, will find homes. I think Xavier Howard's a guy that, look, when X is healthy and he's playing at a high level, that's a guy you want on your team in your secondary. But the problem is he hasn't done that the last couple of seasons. I do think he finds a home eventually, though, and finds a place to play. Same for Ryan Tannehill. I think he finds a place. Michael Thomas, I think he'll find a place. It's going to be one of those things to where they have to understand they're going to take a pay cut. They're going to go play for a very bad football program. They're not going to go to a Super Bowl contender and get paid big dollars to be a shell of what they used to be. It's just how it is. It's how it works in professional sports, whether it's football, baseball, hockey, basketball, tennis, golf, soccer. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be an aging athlete and get paid mega bucks to go to a good football team and you just produce and be a shell of what you used to. You're going to go to a bad team. You're going to take a pay cut. It's just where your career is at. You got to accept it. Or hang it up, call it a career. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been The Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola Podcast.